Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to our fine program. If you are new to the podcast, you're catching us the tail end of our summer blockbuster extravaganza. It's not quite done yet. We got a few more episodes to go. This is the third to last of what we've been calling on Twitter, hashtag SBE2014, which I've seen a lot of people are using. That's fantastic. Keep it up. This week, we're talking about another Roland Emmerich film. This time, it's 2004's The Day After Tomorrow.
Man, this movie is on the highest of horses. I can't even see this movie's head. This horse is so high.
Oh, yeah. This movie thinks that every word that it says has been, like, written in blood on a fucking holy stone somewhere.
And the problem is, it's not a trashy disaster movie, and it really, really should be.
Well, you know why? It's that goddamn libtard message. I'm sorry, I'm not going to, you know, I'm trying not to get political on the show, but oh my God.
It is just jamming it down your throat, and it's like, it's one of those things where I'm like, you know, sometimes it's okay to jam stuff down someone's throat, but in this instance, it's like, What are you accomplishing with this movie? Like, yes, global warming is a huge problem. It's become way more of a problem in the 10 years since this fucking movie was made.
This movie's basically come to fruition.
Yeah.
We have polar vortexes now.
I had to travel against some wolves on my way here.
You see that?
Steve fought some CGI wolves. Yeah,
it's got just computer wolves everywhere now.
It's an epidemic in this city. 10 years later,
wolves.
Computer wolves. Yeah, and for a movie that's like billing itself as this big disaster movie, a fucking, I don't know, like a third of it is people hiding in a library.
Well, the first 45 minutes is an okay movie called The Day After Tomorrow. And then the last hour and 15 minutes is, my dad's coming to pick me up, guys. Guys, my dad's coming to pick me up.
And like, because his dad's coming to pick him up, like, he, Jake Gyllenhaal, is just checked out of the movie. Like, he's waiting for a ride. You have a character that's waiting for a ride.
He's in the foyer with his bag and his coat, and they're like, hey, Jake, your dad, he's not coming for a while. You want to come hang out with the rest of it? No, my dad's coming to pick us up.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Yeah, and he's calling his dad from payphones? Well, that's something you don't see anymore.
It's true. They're long gone. Yeah. I don't think you would find one in the public library these days.
What is he, Amish?
Martha, I'm going to touch this evil devil box, but I have to because the world is ending.
Well, that's the weird. I mean, I know that the Amish have to like stay true, but like, wouldn't it be cool if they were like, all right, guys, new Amish, we're taking everything back to 1960. It would still be spurning a lot of technological advancement.
Wow. Right, like, below the civil rights movement.
That's where you want to be.
Keeping it where the Amish like it.
That's as far as I'll go, English.
Oh, man, we're going to get a lot of bad Amish emails now.
No, we're not.
If they do, they are bad Amish.
Yeah, if you're writing me an email, Amish person, shame on you. It stole your soul.
Yeah, if they are writing us, they might be part of this Amish mafia I've been hearing about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that show?
Yeah.
Are they killing people? Like, is it a serious mafia or what?
They're killing chickens or something.
No, that's
I have no idea.
It's like the Italian mafia.
It's like, I'm going to paint his barn really shitty. Yeah.
I dare you to go
one
down.
Coat.
I dare you to go down to Arthur Avenue and put some fucking strawberry ice cream in somebody's face. You'll see what happens to you.
Is that a Bronx reference?
It's a Bronx reference.
Arthur Avenue is a location in Bronx, New York, where the mafia comes to play. Also, some good delis,
great delis, and wonderful restaurants. So this movie, man, is about like the whole weather structure of the world changes.
And it really, really jams it down your throat because the 20th Century Fox logo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's stormy. Oh,
it's getting stormy.
It's stormy.
I despise when movies open and they like the production company or the film distributor will change the look of their logo to make it go like in theme with the movie. Oh, forget it.
Are we
kind of
done with
dumb.
That now? I feel like we've passed. It had its heyday.
I'm concerned that as recently as the new X-Men movie,
yeah,
something happened to that Fox logo.
I'm fucking with it.
I'm not 100%. And I think it's mostly Fox. I feel like the shitty
Sony.
The Sony lady has changed a little bit here and there.
I think Universal maybe here and there. I don't know.
Warner Brothers is a big offender as well. It's Fox and Warner Brothers
are
like the Russia, the Soviet Union, and the U.S.
Well, because if it's like, it's a movie about, this is what I didn't understand, though, because this is the perfect time to do it. Like, here's this movie where, like, a new ice age comes to the planet, right?
Oh, they could have that little cartoon squirrel on it.
Scrat could have come out. It's owned by Fox. Scrat could have been there.
Synergy.
But, No, but like, why doesn't it freeze?
Yeah.
Why are there just dumb clouds? If you're going to do
this...
Oh,
they don't want to give away the third act.
Oh, come on. That's in the preview that the Ice Age is coming. You hear handsome Dennis Quaid say Ice Age 4 times in the preview.
Man, Dennis Quaid in this movie. That face is worse for wear. Well, as the movie goes on.
Yeah, he gets a little harangued because his son's, on the other side of the country.
And he's going to walk from Jersey to Manhattan to deal with it.
Well, speaking of walking, in the beginning of this movie, he's doing some sweet Super Mario jumps, which don't make a whole lot of sense.
Why is he a super jumper?
Oh, yeah, because they're like, where are they? They're in some cold spot, aren't they?
Antarctica.
Yes. And the young and inexperienced guy.
Dash Mihawk.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Isn't that like a bounty hunter in Star Wars?
Yeah. It sounds like.
No, he is...
I feel like he's played a doofus in things.
He plays a doofus in a lot of things. He's the guy in Punisher Warzone, the dumb cop.
Oh, yeah. That's where I think I recognized
him
from.
He's in Romeo plus Juliet.
Equals.
Equals a movie I've seen too many times.
But so he's in this. They're doing like some Antarctic like weather research or some such nonsense. And there's a big crack he's like drilling, and there's a big crack that happens because like a big part of the ice shelf is breaking off into the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like going down, and like he almost falls, and then like they save him, and then it's like, oh, but the equipment, and Dennis Quaid's like jumping over this ravine back and forth with this shit.
He does a Luigi jump where his legs kind of spin a lot while he's doing it.
to get his science stuff. Like, yeah. This is like, oh, my science posters or whatever the hell.
my Einstein posters.
It's Einstein with his tongue out. It's John Belushi in college.
That's my X-Files I Want to Believe poster.
It's the big wall-sized one of Bob Marley smoking a huge spliff.
Oh, fuck, dude. We got to go back to college.
It'd be great.
Get some Scarface posters.
Yeah, really. Eyesore posters.
I always despised that dude. I despised and admired the dude on our campus that would always be selling
posters outside the bookstore because it was like, you know what you're selling is garbage,
mm-hmm.
but God bless you for making a fucking fortune off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would have like every cell of the original Boondock Saints movie in poster form.
Oh, yeah. And they sold hotcakes.
That's where I got my adaptation poster because why wouldn't you want to wake up every day looking at Nick Cage in a flower pot? Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, that's a movie you want everyone to know you like.
That sounds like 3 or 4 years to me.
Hey, I watched legitimate cinema. Mm-hmm. Here's Nicolas Cage with curly hair.
Yeah, I like important movies.
Mm-hmm. I had the Fear and Loathing poster. It was a nice little conversation piece because then you could tell people, hey, I also read the book. And yes, it was 168 pages. You're welcome.
So a lot of this movie is just Dennis Quaid trying to convince a Dick Cheney surrogate that, like, the world is ending. And this guy just does not want to hear it.
He's being a real prick is the thing. Like, the next scene is, you know, we're at the summit and he's giving his findings about, like, oh, my God, it's really happening. The day after tomorrow is coming.
What's amazing is during this lecture, it's at the UN,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are raising their hands and asking him questions as if this is the first ever lecture that's been given on the subject of climate change. They're like, so you're saying, wait. So if I understand this right, the ozone layer is depleting, and so more rays from the sun are getting in, thus heating up. This is a thing that's happening?
Wait, what? What's happening to the Earth? Well, who did that?
Al Gore is in the back. Well, thanks for nothing, Professor Wizard. And just like slams the door.
If anybody saw my documentary that came out several years prior to this, you'd already be informed. But thanks for wasting everybody's time, Dennis Quaid.
That Dick Cheney surrogate stole the election from me. And there would definitely, it would be the day after tomorrow if I was elected president.
We would certainly have several less conservative Supreme Court judges.
That's true. We
certainly would.
And
topical.
Yeah, there you go.
And Jim Henson's favorite senator, Joe Lieberman, would have been vice president.
Oh, man, Joe Lieberman. God,
and video games would be outlawed.
Is it Joe Lieberman? Lieberman? Yeah. Yeah, Lieberman outlawing video games. That guy was a fucking few fries short of a Happy Meal.
He didn't exactly swing that Florida, that's for sure. No, nobody was coming out for Joe Lieberman.
What do you mean by that?
I really don't mean anything. I just mean that he did not bring in the votes, Eric, that he promised.
So, a few years removed from Donnie Darko, Jake Gyllenhaal's in this movie. It was astounding to me that he still looks like a little kid so much in this movie.
No, I was. Yeah. This is a 17 my ass kind of thing. Like, he looks.
I don't mean to say that he looks 17, but he looks a lot younger than he does.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Like, now he's like a man. He's a big man.
He's like, well, I got a beard now. Look, I'm a man. That's my Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, he's playing, Dennis Quaid's son, Junk Bonds, which is, you know, it's the classic Hook thing, you know, like, but where does my bond? Yeah, right, Junk Bonds.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same thing, like, he promises to take him to the airport, he comes too late, and he's like, Dad, you know, oh, you never come for me, you know, even if the world was ending, and I was in New York, and you were in Washington, you wouldn't find a way to get to me.
If I was stuck in a library, and you were doing a weather conference, and the world started to end, you wouldn't fucking find me.
Thanks a lot, Dad. He flunks math because he refuses to show his work, and gets real indignant about it, and that bothered me a lot.
Because you were one of those people that was desperately trying to cling to any kind of passing math grade.
Yeah.
or you'd be sitting next to someone like Jake Gyllenhaal, and we're like, why won't he show his work so I can copy it? Why won't I want to copy it?
But he's on this high horse, like, oh, you know, I got all the answers right, man.
Because I'm just smarter than the teacher, okay, Dad?
And his dad's like, well, great, son. It's like, no, fucking do the goddamn assignment.
Yeah, because Dennis Quaid is like, oh, well, you're trying to tell me that he flunked you because you're smarter than he is. And he's like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. And he's like, well, I'm going to call the school. And he's just going to take care of it. It's like, you know what? No.
Excuse me, school?
Yeah.
My son is smarter than all of you. So you give him an A.
Did I mention I predicted the end of the world?
Which is coming, by the way. You should also run for your lives. But first, change that grade.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry, though. Get off your high horse. If the teacher says you have to show your work, show your work. I'm not impressed that you can just write stuff down.
Exactly.
Because also, who knows? Maybe you got a copy of the test and you copied, you know, you memorized all the answers or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just a school teacher.
Yeah, I got a ton of shit to do. You show your work, kid.
Fucking arrogant asshole in this movie.
So he's going to a academic decathlon in New York.
Yes.
And he's going with Emmy Rossum, Shameless is Emmy Rossum, and some other kid nobody ever saw again.
I was going to say the Phantom of the Opera's Emmy Rossum.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I think that might have been the only thing I've seen her
in. I was going to say nothing's Emmy Rossum.
Oh, Mystic River's Emmy Rossum.
Oh, that's right. She is in that. That's is she the girl that gets murdered?
That's his daughter in there.
She's that daughter in there. Okay.
Yeah, that's his daughter in there.
The titular daughter.
She played Mystic River in Mystic River. Right. Hi, y'all. I'm Mystic River.
It's a pretty name. It's kind of a hippy-dippy name, yeah. But it works. You know, it works for our family.
What? I'm getting murdered? That's a great movie, though.
It's a great movie. And
vampires.
So they're on a plane to New York, and the plane actually starts to crash. Like, the wing is peeling back, and they, like, turn Jake Gyllenhaal into this, like, nervous Nelly, mm-hmm. and they turn into, like, this sweet moment, because, like, the wing is peeling back. There's turbulence. He's holding her hand, and she's like, is this guy trying to make a move? Like, no, he's actually experiencing death.
Oh, wow, then that is a turnoff.
But it scenes like this, 15 minutes into your movie, there's nothing. There's no tension here.
No.
I know this movie's not about a plane crash.
Yeah.
I also know from the trailer that at some point Jake Gyllenhaal and these other people will be sitting in a library somewhere. Like, this does nothing for me. Like, you're sitting there, you're just like, all right, so when are you going to pull out of this, pilot? Oh, you did it? All right. Well, that's over with.
This is setting up, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal as this, like, you know.
The aforementioned Nervous Nelly.
Yeah, well, you know, he's like, he's a good kid. He's smart. He's beautiful.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
But he's not good around the ladies. And he's got to try to overcome that. That's sort of his.
Yeah, I mean,
Day After Tomorrow, his storm.
Oh.
I mean, the most nerd's curse is that they look like a 24-year-old Jake Gyllenhaal in high school. It's an awkward phase.
I look just like that. It was hard as shit.
I know, man. It's really, really difficult.
You're turning down these modeling contracts.
It's like every day. And you can't get over it. Mm-hmm. And you just have to look forward, look to the day after tomorrow and think, like, you know, it's going to get better.
One day. In the dystopian hellscape that the earth becomes, maybe she'll talk to me.
One person that's not making it to the day after tomorrow is Ian Holm in this movie. He makes it to the day of.
This is what I like to call Ian Holm and his band of who cares scientists. This is a group of three people. It's Ian Holm, a guy who likes watching soccer, and a guy who's like a newly, you know, he's just become a father. And they're just like at this weather center, and you're just looking at them. And you're looking at the way, like, they're just like these three kind of like little unassuming people. And because I've seen every disaster movie ever, I'm like, well, these three are dead meat.
Oh, yeah.
Put the clock on Ian Holm the second you see him in this movie, but, little hobbity son of a bitch.
For some reason, Dennis Quaid is in India briefly.
Yeah.
Well, that's where he runs into Ian Holm.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Ian Holm's walking around going, you know, we used to own all of this.
Yeah, which is why he can hail a taxi really easily and Dennis Quaid can't. And then I thought it was very clever of the filmmakers that we go from hailing a cab in India to someone being murdered by hail in Japan. Weather hail, everyone. Weather hail.
I forgot about
that's
that.
Pretty great.
Yeah, such weather hail. Like, these are...
Shit's going crazy in Tokyo.
Shit is going... And again... you're absolutely right, and nobody gives a shit.
I'm sorry. Shit's going crazy in Tokyo is something you would see. Like, if there was some, like, event in Tokyo of any kind, you'd see some dumbass teenager tweet that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it would be.
Somebody's
just going crazy in Tokyo.
Well, I just tweeted that.
Oh.
Somebody make me an extra large t-shirt that's pink and has white letters. It says shit's going crazy in Tokyo. And I'll wear it.
I'll totally wear that t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Oh,
we got to get on this merch, guys. We got to make it happen.
Yeah, that's just a really, and it's the kind of, it's the only scene, I think, of something like that happening at first. Because, like, they sort of very gently usher in the idea that this big storm's coming. Mm. So it's like, yeah, hailing the taxi. And then it's just like, oh, a quiet day in Tokyo. A businessman is coming home from a long day at work. Shung, dung, dung, dung. And this dude is taken out so violently.
Well, you don't know what the movie is yet. So you're like, oh, is this like the Japan story? And he's got his own thing. Maybe I'm watching, you know, an Inarritu movie.
Yeah, maybe it's Babel.
Maybe it's Babel and he's going to go meet his deaf daughter. Like, I don't know what's going to happen.
Maybe he's in the Yakuza.
maybe. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. It's like, oh, no, that guy's dead.
Yeah, no.
That shit's dead.
Well, that shit's dead.
Shit is going crazy
in
Tokyo.
You know, as they continue to show us, like, oh, this weather is not that good. You know, in India, there was also kind of flurries happening, and it's like, whoa, this is really bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
But also, geese attack New York City.
Mm-hmm.
They're landing the plane. They're getting down to New York, going to go on their school trip, and there's all these geese descending upon the city.
Dude, I hope that plane was being piloted by Captain Sully Sullenberger.
If there's anyone that can go through geese.
That guy figured it out.
Cuts right through him. Yeah, but like, it's a thing where like, it's all casual New Yorkers, but like, the sky is black with geese. Like, you do not, you can't, they are blocking out the sun. There's so many geese. And everyone's just like, I got to get to my meeting. And it's like, no, go figure this out.
Look, like, we stop and look at things.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I've seen movies.
You've seen those libtard movies.
The only time you New Yorkers stop is when you see a Spider-Man in trouble. And then you're messing with everyone, you know? Like, you mess with all of us. Other than that.
Yeah, we are very protective about our Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, it's Spider-Man and pizzas with you guys.
We bandy together and we save Spider-Man whenever he needs our help.
Every movie we wind up getting the courage up together.
Is this also the part of the movie where, like, there's a power outage in the city or something? And all these, like, I don't know if they're cops or security guards or whatever, are going through the Central Park Zoo.
Yeah.
And it's like, they totally like go to one cage and he's like, huh, that's funny. And the guy's like, what? Because they're New Yorkers, right? We choke on every word.
Wow.
Yeah. One guy goes, dah! And the other guy goes, dah!
And then the guy, a little traitor comes up, oh, TD! You know, we're all just.
But this guy's like, oh, look at that. The wolves got out.
It's a living.
There's no wolves in Vinny, the Central Park Zoo.
You see the goddamn CGI wolves? Fucking CGI wolves go crazy. Well, you got a bagel or a pizza? Pizza on a bagel?
Bro, it's both.
Oh,
it's fucking both.
Not a fucking problem with these CGI wolves that they can fit through the bars because they're so skinny.
You know, when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat that anytime.
Yeah, the hell with these CGI wolves. They're Mets fans. Go Yankees! CGI wolves, fan of the Mets, get out of here.
The wolves.
Hey, somebody open that fire hydrant. The wolves are out.
These goddamn wolves have Mets pennant up.
So it's just so the movie audience knows, there's a pack of wolves running wild in the city for some reason.
Which is fine, you know, whatever.
There's also something hilarious, and it's just Ian Holmes' charming accent. What he's trying to say is, or what he is saying, but in my dumb American ears, he's saying nomad buoys. But he's saying it in a British way, so it sounds like nomad boys. And I just imagine...
Wait, what was he trying to say?
Nomad buoys. Like buoys.
Like their little ocean indicator.
Because basically...
He wasn't... Whoa, is Ian Holm talking about Howard Stern?
The no Baba Booey?
Oh, I think Ian Holm just said Baba Booey. Oh, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Fafa Foley.
Oh, man, Vinny, this is a good fucking movie. It's a good fucking movie.
Well, I was imagining Ian Holm being the wrestling manager of a tag team called the Nomad Boys.
I was picturing, when you said Ian Holm and the Nomad Boys, I was picturing him in like a shitty English, like, Ricky Gervais era pop band, you know? Like, Ian Holmes just, maybe he's the manager of the Nomad Boys in that sense. Still a manager, though. Never part of the team.
I could pitch you three movies called Ian Holm and the Nomad Boys, they're all better than The Day After Tomorrow.
For instance, you could do, like, a low-budget type of Lawrence of Arabia type of thing.
Yeah. Man, I would love to see what a low-budget Lawrence of Arabia looks like.
Bend over, I'll show you.
Good God.
I'm just saying it might be dry down there. That's all.
Oh, that's all you're saying.
That's all.
Hey, Vinny! Oh, ah! I just pulled the bend over and I'll show you a gang of this guy.
This guy's got sand in his crack.
So,
they spent too much time down at Coney Island.
Oh, the biggest one as to, like, oh, the world's changing is there's four tornadoes that hit Los Angeles. And my God, if there isn't the line, that tornado just took out the Hollywood sign. Shut up!
It's crazy. There are four tornadoes in downtown Los Angeles destroying everything.
And you think Tommy Lee Jones was like, oh, God damn it, I got to get back out there and get the jackhammer ready.
And then he swept away.
That would be the greatest cameo of all time. He reprises his role from Volcano, and he's like, well, that doesn't look like a volcano, and then gets immediately swept away. Just up into the sky. But yeah, you were saying.
It's insane because, like, if you think about, and, like, people are watching this on TV, like, Jake Gyllenhaal and his team are watching it on TV, and, like, this is 9/11 times four, man. There's four fucking tornadoes in a city area that has, like, millions of people there. Thousands upon thousands of people are dying, and everyone's just like, "Wow, that's a bummer, huh?" Like, and they're having, like, casual conversations.
The apathy is outrageous. Yeah. You're totally right. They're all just like, "Oh, look at that. Hey, can I get some milk for this cereal?"
Yeah, and, like, honestly, like, can you remember a casual conversation that happened anywhere in the country from 9/12 to 9/15? Because it never happened. You were just being like, hey, remember when that fucking tragedy happened and we're still agape about it?
You're talking about that tragedy.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. And there's, like, there's people in the street just watching shit. And, like, I think this goes back to, I was watching another Roland Emmerich movie recently, ID4, of course, to celebrate the American holiday, like we do every year. We light up fireworks and we watch Independence Day. And in that movie, when all the people are like when Vivica A. Fox's friend there is like, oh, I'm going to go up on the roof to greet the aliens. Yeah. And, like, everyone's having these, like, welcome aliens parties.
Los Angeles, huh?
Everyone in this movie is having a welcome tornadoes party. Like, everyone's just looking like, oh, they're here. It's great.
There's a fucking headphones gag in this movie, man. Another, like, a tornado is tearing this fucking thing apart.
Yeah.
This guy's standing with his headphones listening to the World Cup and no one cares.
Oh, man. Now, speaking of these people just, like, watching this crap, some dude runs out in the middle of the street and tells all these kids, like, hey, you get out of there. Don't watch those tornadoes. And then he's like, but now I can't look away. There are tornadoes happening. And his friend calls him. And his friend's like, hey, yo, you're on TV about to die. And he's just like, I know, I'm watching tornadoes.
I can't believe it.
At the last second, he's like, oh, I better get into my red Porsche and drive away.
Yeah.
Too late. A bus crushes him.
He is the producer of
this movie. No.
He's the producer of the whatever. Oh, it's the like the local weather station, cuz or it's the radio. It's the radio station, cuz the guy calls him up in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and he's like, "I think we're going to have to put out, like, an extreme weather alert for tornadoes." And the guy's like, "Ah, fuck, I'm coming in." This guy is actually the Tommy Lee Jones of Day After Tomorrow.
Wait, but he's a Tommy Lee Jones of radio?
I guess so.
I gotta see the tornadoes, and then I'll see about putting out an alert.
Well, it's like a weather center type fella, but I guess there's something with the radio involved.
He's more the Harvey Fierstein station manager. I gotta call my mother. Oh, shit, it is.
I gotta call my lawyer. Oh, fuck my lawyer.
There is another weatherman is like reporting in an epicenter in between three tornadoes. It's like, there's that tornado over there and that tornado's that way. And there's an, oh no, and he gets murdered in like 9 seconds.
It's a real what the fuck did you think was going to happen?
And that's one of the best deaths in the movie, and we're only 25 minutes in, because it goes downhill from here. Really hardcore.
I mean, what are you tuning into these disaster movies for, if not for the hilarious deaths that occur?
Well, maybe to see Dennis Quaid's bedroom, which I want to talk about briefly.
Oh, please.
Go ahead.
If you notice, by his bed. Uh-huh. He's just basically sleeping on a mountain of National Geographics. And I'm thinking what everyone else is thinking.
Uh-huh.
He's jerking off to those photos.
Bingo.
I think he, as a 45-year-old man, bingo, you should be able to buy your own pornography.
No, but it's this way if anyone catches him.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I'm a scientist.
I'm an egghead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's research. The old "it's for research" excuse.
It's
can be
research.
Used for all sorts of things.
You know, you never know. In Antarctica, you might come across African breasts. It's a possibility.
It's a total possibility. Although, here's the thing. Are he and Celia Ward divorced in this movie or what?
I guess so.
They gotta be, right?
Is it?
The relationship with the son alone.
They're Helen Hunt divorced because they're in different spots of the country, but they're always talking to each other.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, and it's, you know, she is useless in this movie.
She's just saving a cancer boy, which is useless.
Oh, my God.
For what? This cancer, like, in the middle of this movie, this cancer kid shows up, and I'm like, well, great. I mean, it's unnecessary in the film.
Because also, you know, this is what I'm talking about again. Like, I know that this kid who's receiving chemotherapy, you know, and they really make him look like raccoon eyes, bald head, like, yeah, really bad, you know.
It looks like Ian Holm.
Yeah.
Or Duddits.
You know. They're not going to kill this kid in this movie.
No, of course not.
So, like, when Celia Ward's like, oh, well, I'm going to stay behind in the hospital and pray that an ambulance shows up because this kid can't be moved by anything other than an ambulance. I'm like, well, that ambulance is showing up, baby.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of minutes.
But he doesn't even have any kind of trial. Like, you know, think, like, give Celia Ward something to do. Maybe she has to drive this kid herself.
Carry him.
Something. She's just, like, cooling his head the entire movie. And it's like, well, who cares?
I don't need to see Celia Ward play nursemaid.
No.
Okay? I'm here. I purchased a ticket for a disaster movie.
Mm-hmm. Unless that kid turns into a tornado, I don't want to see him.
Which, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
If a tornado just burst out of that kid's chest, he's like, it wasn't cancer, it was tornadoitis. And his chest just bursts open and a huge tornado comes out.
I would be shocked if that would happen.
I think that's how Tornado Man was born in Mega Man.
Tornado Man?
Yeah, it was in one of the later games.
Yeah, he was like a Mega Man 5 kind
of
guy.
Yeah, they started really running out of ideas. He threw tornadoes at you.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it was shitty, but it's Mega Man. It's still great.
At this point, like, for a while, Dennis Quaid's boss is like, you're an asshole, you're an idiot, you pissed off the vice president, you're going to get us all killed. You know, it's Dick Cheney, he's going to have us murdered.
He's going to have us waterboarded.
Yeah, you know, and he starts to have a change of heart because literally the world is falling apart. And, like, even after the tornado thing in Los Angeles, Dick Cheney's just like, well, that's just a coincidence. It's ridiculous.
If we do something about that, it'll destabilize the economy. Like, he's worried about the economy and all this.
He's like, yeah, if we give you all this money for preventative measures, where do you think that money's coming from? How do you think this is going to affect the working economy?
Yeah. How is this going to affect the rich?
Amazingly, these are still the same arguments that we're having 10 years after this movie was made.
It never ends, man.
Just because Toby Jones played both Carl Rove and Armin Zola in Captain America: The Winter Soldier, I'm kind of imagining, like, Carl Rove downloading himself into a bunch of computers when, like, the day after tomorrow is happening.
That is going to definitely happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would make sure. I don't know how I would do this.
I'd team up with the good people at Anonymous, and I would ensure that some horrendous pornography virus went into the Karl Rove computer system fucking killed him.
Oh.
He killed him.
I thought it was like all he could do is cyber sex now.
If it turned him into a cyber sex being.
Cyber sex strategist.
He's another piece of shit, huh?
Excuse me?
Karl Rove.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, fuck that guy.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I mean, at this point, it's basically...
you're just waiting for the weather to come.
Jake Gyllenhaal is at the hunkiest fucking math decathlon I've ever seen.
Oh,
it's him, Emmy Rossum, this other kid with glasses who's really good looking.
These are some sexy ass nerds.
There's not one fat kid I've seen.
You could do laps in these hunks' eyes. They're so dreamy, man. Fucking lose yourself, swim around in those hunky browns and baby blues.
Those blue saucers, man, just take a dip.
They're all like, oh, we're so awkward. Being in high school is the worst.
I got to lift weights and read about astrophysics.
Jake Gyllenhaal kind of, for like 4.5 minutes, has a romantic rival in this rich kid from another school kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, this kid, it's... totally fair. He shows interest in Emmy Rossum as well.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And I'm like, oh, yeah. All right.
Vampires.
Talking about vampires. And two guys just fighting for Emmy Rossum's heart. But I'm like, all right, I'll get a little love triangle.
Yeah,
maybe
sure.
That'll spice this movie up a little bit. That's cool. Well, no more than 10 minutes later does this hunk come up to Jake Gyllenhaal. And he's like, hey, Jake Gyllenhaal. Why don't you just tell her how you feel, man? And I'm like, fuck you, hunk.
That's the premier problem of this movie, is not just to tell her how you feel, because 3 minutes earlier, they're like, this kid's like, oh my God, my little brother's in Philadelphia. I got to go pick him up. There's no contact in Philadelphia. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, oh, okay, now we're trapped in New York. And he has the fucking balls to go up to Jake Gyllenhaal in all of his grief and be like, you know what? Your little high school bullshit crush means more to me than my dead little brother clutching a school book at the bottom of a fucking ice storm.
Yeah, it's makes no sense.
He's doing a lot of like, oh, we can stay at my dad's house. Like, he's the super rich, you know, Upper West Side kid or whatever.
Yeah.
And good they go him. There and they... yeah, good for him indeed. They go there and they hang out there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Before they transport themselves to the library to hang out some more. We're finding all these places to just hang out.
Mm-hmm. Because the storm is starting up now, and we know it's serious because, oh my God, Vinny, did you hear this? Fucking close the Holland Tunnel.
Oh, shit.
Dude, and the Lincoln Tunnel, too. How the fuck am I supposed to get to the Meadowlands?
Oh, bro, you hear the Ranger game got canceled?
Bro, they never close indoor sporting events. It's ridiculous. I can't believe this is happening. It's the worst day after tomorrow ever.
All right, well, I'll talk to you later. I got to go collect garbage. But I collect garbage on the Upper West Side.
90% of people in New York collect garbage. Make and collect garbage.
You either collect garbage or you catch shit. Personally, I'm going to collect garbage. I don't know about you.
You make garbage, you collect garbage, or you eat garbage. New York City, it's a great place to live.
You know, they got restaurants and stuff for the rich folks, you know? Oh, sometimes someone will throw out a bagel.
The whole bagel, they just throw it out.
That's how I eat.
You throw it in the garbage, I throw it in my gullet.
Oh, bro, you think when the continents shift, there'll be a land bridge to Staten Island?
I wouldn't have to pay that Verrazano toll.
Oh,
anymore.
I know what you're talking about. $9.
Oh,
that's crazy, Vinny.
It's ridiculous. It's not even worth it. They have an easy pass. There's no discount. Oh,
pasta primavera. That's like $10.
So at this point, like, you know,
New York.
Ian Holm says a silent prayer and dies. He says a prayer to be out of the day after tomorrow and is granted his wish.
Well, let me tell you, this merry band of losers are like up in wherever in the Arctic Circle where this whole thing is like kind of started. They're not in the Arctic Circle.
They're in England, I believe.
Yes, no, they're in like Greenland or something.
Okay. Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because they're just in like the middle of nothing.
Yeah.
Iceberg. And he's like, what are they going to do? They're going to like burn something or throw something out or whatever. And it's like a bottle of scotch. And he's like, instead of doing whatever you were going to do, let's drink it.
Yeah.
And it's just these three nothing characters toasting themselves out of the movie. Because the whole thing with this storm is, you know, it's going to be bringing about this new ice age. And Dennis Quaid predicts rightfully that like the temperature is going to have a severe drop. Like there's going to be like high winds and some snow and whatnot, yeah. But it's going to get incredibly cold to the point where like unless you're by a heat source, you're going to instantly freeze to death.
You know what I call this?
The bullshit.
That's a good one too. But no, the DQ blizzard.
DQ blizzard.
Dennis Quaid. Yeah.
A lot of flurries, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, we're all going to have to take a bite.
Yeah, see, I was thinking of the Dairy Queen flurry, and I got all excited for ice cream.
This is sort of like ice cream, but it kills you. Well, I guess ice cream kills you, too.
Another group of losers that have nothing to do in this movie is the space station we keep cutting back to.
Oh, man, why are we going to space in this movie? I totally forgot.
And it's one of the only times in any movie where there's three characters that have their own plot and not one of them is a recognizable actor of any kind.
No, it's just three stunt doubles floating in a space station.
It's like fucking Roland Emmerich's three nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, just hanging out.
Yeah, and these assholes are so goddamn calm about everything up there. Like, hey, I'm on the space station. Nothing can ever harm me. Yeah, but asshole, you're not ever coming home.
That's the thing that they don't address in the movie, because at the beginning they're like, oh, hey, up there, space station, we're going to get some inclement weather. Looks like you're stuck up there for another 6 days.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, all right, whatever. But then they don't address the fact that there's no way these guys are going to get home. At least, well, actually, I don't know, though, because as we learn, this like ice age only hits about like middle America.
Well, like people are fleeing from Texas to Mexico at some points.
Well, that's the big wink at the end of this movie, is that all of these Americans are bombarding the Mexican border.
Could you imagine that?
What a world, huh?
Sarah
Palin would rather put a gun in her mouth and commit suicide than do that.
I'd watch that. I'd
broadcast that on pay-per-view. I'll pay whatever money you want.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah.
It's a real libtard episode we're putting up here, huh?
You can't help it, but with this plot of this movie.
But, you know, it lets us imagine if the shoe was on the other foot.
Yeah,
right.
How would we react if we wanted to go to Mexico?
Well, what's amazing is I think in that end wrap-up of what's going on is you hear a newscaster say something to the effect of like, in order for Mexico to be cool with this, the United States has agreed to forgive all of Latin America's debt to the United States. That's like a thing that's just dropped at the end of the movie. Like, so to make this okay, Latin America doesn't owe us money anymore. Open your doors to us.
If I'm Latin America, I'm like, do you want better? That's like going to prison with somebody that owes you money and, you know, he's much bigger than you. Like, dude, that's resolved no matter what. You know, like, next thing you need to do for me. I mean,
exactly.
This is the time we need to be calling in our debts, you know, because it's like, half of your taxpayers are dead.
At least.
What is going on here?
Well, that's the problem, is the last two acts of this movie is all just Dennis Quaid getting his ass to fucking New York. But we should speed that up, because there's a whole new world order that I'd rather see, because America's dead.
A new world order?
It would have to be, right? Like, power is out. I don't know if power is ever coming back. I mean,
right. Well, yeah, you're totally right. I want to see the day after tomorrow, mm-hmm. and what that is like rebuilding society.
You know what? Fuck that. Give me next week.
It's the road. We're going towards the road with Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, man.
What a snooze.
I would prefer that would be The Road Less Traveled. Because I don't want to go down that road.
I don't want to go down that road either.
I kind of like that movie, though. I know it's an unpopular opinion, but...
That's totally fine.
Is it?
That you like that movie? Yes, because as I say in the show all the time, it's perfectly fine for anybody to like any movie.
So I know all you tomorrow heads.
Damn.
Just, you know, keep in mind, this is a fun program we do from time to time.
They call themselves, you know, dat heads.
Yeah. Oh. Huey, Dewey, and Louie Emmerich are really going to come after us.
But yeah, you're right, maybe. Though. I mean, the whole northern hemisphere is covered in ice. Like, it's not just America.
No, yeah. It's
the whole northern hemisphere.
Yeah, Europe, too.
Europe's done. Like, the world is different, and we don't see any of it because we're just watching Jake Gyllenhaal burn books. Like, that's it. And just, like... blow on his hands and look at his watch waiting for dad to come home.
Let's talk about the book burning, because this is some of the dumbest moments. Like, these are some of the dumbest moments in this movie. So there's the librarian who stayed behind in the library.
Yeah.
Then there's like some nerdlinger who frequents the library. And then like a younger girl who's probably like 20 or so. This nerdlinger is maybe like in his 30s.
Yeah.
And my God, the conversations about what books were burning, how dare you burn any book in the first place, this guy's keeping a Bible, like all of this shit about burning books, like it's disgusting. And at the end of it, the nerdlinger and the young girl fall in love. Like they totally are making fuck eyes at each other over the whole, like, wow, we lived through this ice age, but at least we have their books. There's time now. There's all the time now to read all your books and be romantic in this goddamn disaster movie. These
goddamn libtards not burning their books when they need to burn them. Their books are there to burn.
That's what books are for. That's made out of paper.
That's why they made books. She made them to burn them.
Listen, if the world is turning into the next ice age, I'm burning every book around me.
Yeah.
I don't care. At that point, I don't care.
Everyone around me.
FYI.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Books be damned.
Yeah, you got a Kindle anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to kill the weakest one of the bunch. Use him to cook up, you know, if need be.
Sure.
Unless I can, if I can, you know, get out there and kill some of those CGI wolves, roast them up.
I'm having a Chris Cabin pulled pork sandwich is what I'm having. A slow cooker, man.
Shit, calvesies?
Yeah, man.
I bet that's delicious.
It's got to be.
You eat all his knowledge.
Yeah.
What if it was actually like that movie Ravenous and you gained the person's, like, soul or whatever?
Oh, then I would not eat Chris Cabin.
No. So Dennis Quaid makes another appeal to the president, who is a George Bush surrogate. He gets Jeff Goldblum all the way to the White House. So, like, you're the only guy that saw this coming.
Yeah.
Come on in. Let's talk about it. And he gives this presentation. And at this point, New York is flooded and freezing. You know, L.A. has 17 tornadoes. We don't know what's going on in the middle of America. We don't see any of that. Major cities only, as always.
Well, that's where you think all those tornadoes would be. But that's like, I mean, the whole thing is like it's seeing weather that you normally wouldn't see places.
In the wrong spot. And like, there's so much evidence. And even this Dick Cheney guy, and it's stupid because Dick Cheney's smarter than this. Dick Cheney would be like, oh, okay, it's a national emergency. We have to do something.
Yeah.
Or my life is threatened. But he's like, no, that's ridiculous. Give me the soul of a baby. Oh, this is subtle political commentary. Oh, that's ridiculous. That's stupid.
It's so stupid because all you need to do is drop a few nuclear warheads into the heart of the storm. No, trust me on this. This will make things a little warmer.
Yeah.
Yep.
It'll spin the tornado the other way.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Finally, someone gets
reverse
it.
Reverse the polarity, cross the streams.
You got to do all of it. You
eject
can't just
the warp core.
Yeah, you got to eject the warp core for sure. You definitely have to hit 88 miles per hour.
But by the way, in this, while they're hiding out in the library, and they, you know, New York's flooded now. There's water everywhere.
Oh, yeah, because there's a big sequence where a huge tidal wave just buries everything.
Yeah, she's got to help. There's a scene where Jake Gyllenhaal has to help Emmy Rossum from a taxi because she's helping tourists.
Yeah, she's helping some French tourists.
No. They're the first to fucking go. I'm sorry. If shit goes down in New York City, Oh no, that's you talk about pulled pork sandwiches. I'm sorry, this is the fucking
some fucking pulled pork croquettes. That's I'm
giving
what
I'm you the, giving you the straight dope today, man.
It's ridiculous. She's like, oh my god, like, and it's one of these things where everyone keeps looking back. There's a wall of water as tall as the Statue of fucking Liberty, and everyone's running. I'm like, run 12 steps, look back, run 12 steps. It's still coming. It's still coming.
And I'll tell you what, the speed at which this river, this fucking tidal wave is coming down Fifth Avenue compared to the time that they waste puttering around outside of this library does not match up. They'd be dead six times over. Like, you see this thing rushing down the street, and you're like, wow, that's coming pretty fast. And, like, Emmy Rossum has time to go find out what's going on with these tourists. And it's just that this woman doesn't speak English, but she doesn't understand that the guy
is fucking cab.
Yeah, like, the guy's like, the water is like up to the windows. I have to get you out of this car. And the guy's like, she doesn't speak English. She doesn't know what's going on. I'm like, listen, in this case, this woman would know to get out of the car.
She thinks it's a hotel room back here. Huh? She's taking a dump.
Welcome to America. Speak New York.
And then soon after this fucking scene, a goddamn giant boat is floating around Manhattan.
It's a Russian, like, tugboat or something.
Hey, Vinny, the Titanic's just arrived.
Well, better late than never, says Cheech Marin.
You think that boat's got calzones on it or what?
Bro, I opened up this Russian freighter, and inside was six tons of gabagol.
Oh, man. How about, was there any of them, those babes down at Brighton Beach? Any of them on there?
All those rusky babes were inside it. Bro, I think they were there for the sex trade. The Day After Tomorrow warped the sex trade operation.
Hey, I ain't picky.
Yo, you ever see that movie, Eastern Promises? That's how it's like, bro. That's how they do it over there.
You mean fighting a guy naked in a sauna?
No, I mean whatever the fuck Vincent Cassell's up to.
Oh, right.
I'm a big New York guy, but I also know who Vincent Cassell is.
Just because I shovel garbage and eat it for a living doesn't mean I ain't cultured in the areas of art cinema. I know David Cronenberg.
You know, those movies get released in New York before anywhere else.
So technically, I got the fucking leg up here, all right?
Oh, man, I saw Breathless in Film Forum last week, and my own, is that a good movie?
Oh, mercy.
So they're holed up. It doesn't make sense to be holed up in the library because it's not even that high of a building.
Well, like, that's the thing. This movie likes to pretend that... Also, there are two issues I take with this.
Skyscrapers everywhere in Midtown.
Yes. And they like to pretend that this library is bigger, you know, than it is, taller than it is. But also what they're doing in this movie that's flippin' infuriating is they keep doing the, hey, if you're looking for us, we're at the library.
Oh, man.
You know what New York has? Like 10,000 library branches.
Yeah.
We're at the library.
Well, they are in the original, I guess.
Just to the Bryant Park Library or fucking the Ghostbusters Library, you know? Like,
are you guys in the library from Ghostbusters? Okay, got it.
Yeah, and it's full of ghosts now because we're all dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm making more ghosts by killing and then eating people. You better hurry up, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. So he talks to his dad. He's like, sweetie, I'll pick you up in 2 days. And he's like, okay. And he starts like packing up. Like, Dennis Quaid has convinced the president and the vice president to evacuate America. So
right.
And he's like, well, I guess the only thing left is to pack up and get my son. And he goes to get his son and his two friends, Dash Mihawk and J.O. Sanders, character acting duo.
Oh, that's J.O. Sanders?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're like, oh, we'll come with you, ride or die, because I want to go to New York and freeze to death.
It's like, oh, what's that team leader, Dennis Quaid? You're picking up your dumb son during this thing? Good luck.
Yep, see you never again.
Yeah, that's impossible. That's like doing a 3-point turn in a garbage truck in the middle of a blizzard.
Oh, you make time to have it in a blizzard, bro.
The funny thing is, he probably would have got there faster and not had to spare some lives if he just went by himself.
Exactly.
J.O. Sanders falls to his death in this movie.
Immediately. Almost immediately. Like
into a mini mall or into a shopping mall.
Yeah, no, legit shopping mall,
that
man.
That scene's really infuriating.
They got everything there.
So we're walking over the frozen tundra, which used to be America, right? Think yes. about that shit. And it's on top
fucking
of...
Fucking libtard.
They fall in through a mini mall and, like, you know, they're doing like a... Kind of a, you know, a northern trek. Everyone's connected to each other via rope.
Yeah.
So J.O. Sanders cuts away the sled. And he's like, oh, it's still a little too heavy. And the ice, the glass starts to crack. And they're like, oh, no, hold on, we'll get you. And he's like, nah, hero's death for me. This is for Jake Gyllenhaal. And he cuts himself free, but you don't see him fall. They cut away, and that's the big problem for me. It's like,
how dare you? I want to hear that thud.
Because we see the sled fall,
and
that thing shatters across an escalator.
Yeah.
And I would love to see this fella shatter across an escalator.
I want him to go right into a coconuts, you know, like just right, and like fucking CDs are sticking out all over him.
Or he crashes into a fountain and a bunch of pennies go flying out of it. But you're so right. Like, where are the balls on this disaster movie, man? All I can keep thinking about is a certain someone in volcano melting into lava.
Exactly. And it's a hero's death, too. You can get away with making it horrific, you know, like because it's just like, you know, he's living it for everybody.
But what's great, though, is that whole time he's like threatening to cut. He's trying to like make the decision.
Yeah.
He's looking up at like the glass that they're standing on is like cracking. And he's like, should I do this or not? And the whole time Dennis Quaid's like, no, seriously, put that knife away. We can figure this out. And he's like, no, I think I'm going to take the hero's way out. You know, and he's like, no, please, whatever you do, don't cut that rope. We'll have you saved in like 2 seconds. And he's like, no. You're welcome. Suicide.
And it's just like, for what? Like, honestly.
For nothing.
It's a body count that you don't see. We keep cutting back to Celia Ward and Cancer Boy. She's reading a fucking Peter Pan. And it's like, well, congratulations. This movie's any slower than it was 5 minutes ago.
Man,
somehow.
Celia Ward's a good actor, but like, man, is she just doing nothing in this movie.
No.
I could not care less. Like, if you deleted every scene of hers after, like, her and Dennis Quaid get off the phone at the beginning of this movie,
yeah,
it would be fine. It would be like I remember, like, Celia Ward played his ex-wife for, like, 2 seconds. That was weird. But it would be way better than cutting back to her and Cancer Boy just wasting my time. This movie is, like, 2.5 hours long or something like that.
You know, they could have peppered this up a little bit, you know? Yeah. Have Cancer Boy played by, I don't know, the kids in the hall's Bruce McCullough. Give it a little something extra.
It's a funny way to go with it.
Just a little something extra.
He's a short guy. He can still play a kid.
Yeah. I think he had a character similar to this once. I don't know.
Hey, I just I noticed in my notes something stupid to tack on to how stupid the Ian Holm storyline is. Right when they're about to freeze to death and die and they're drinking that scotch, they do like a toast, you know?
Uh-huh.
Mm. You're like, toast our death. He goes... They all say one, right? Huh. So it starts with Ian.
Ah, fuck it.
They go, to England, to mankind,
uh-huh,
to Manchester United, because this dude's a huge soccer fan.
Yeah.
So the team everybody hates, too.
Hmm. To Bilbo Baggins, he says.
to J.R.R. Tolkien.
To the Hughes brothers from hell. Now available on home video.
That movie sucks.
Ian Holm is in it.
I know he is. He may be Jack the Ripper in that movie.
He may just be.
I don't remember how that movie ends.
I think
you just said the ending.
They all imply that he's the Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, because parts of that are...
I kind of want to rewatch it, to be honest with you. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I saw it in theaters, and I was a big fan of the book, and I remember just being like, oh, really?
See, I didn't know the book.
It's a good one. Oh, there's also...
Is that a funny book?
It's a funny book with pictures in it.
The funnies. Okay. The funnies.
Oh, it's funny pages.
Yeah, it's the funny pages. So we've got Wade out the movie. We've also got, before they're on their like...
Did you say Wipeout? I'm going to do a belly flop from the fucking Statue of Liberty.
look out, whales. Here I come. Oh, I'm the only man that's ever going to survive the second ice age. Eating cat hot dogs.
I think it was
keeping myself warm.
It wasn't called Wipeout, right? It was Splash or something?
No, it was Wipeout.
Was it?
No, yeah. Wipeout is the show where idiots try to run across things and get knocked into water.
Yeah, oh, those are celebrity Wipeout. Oh, no.
They get nerfed out, right?
Yeah, they get, yeah, there's like big nerf things them and they fall in the water.
This
Splash was,
like,
was the.
Was it Splash?
Yeah.
You, oh, yeah, where Louis Anderson jumps off a building. into a glass of water.
Yeah, it's him and then a carnival horse. They both do it. Yeah, no, Wipeout was it was hosted by the dude who used to do Talk Soup.
Yeah. Oh,
John McHale?
No, John Henson.
I'm thinking about it now. Like, so Los Angeles is destroyed, right?
Yeah.
New York is mostly destroyed. What if at the end, when all said and done, the day after tomorrow, Louis Anderson is the greatest living actor? Like, what if we get down to that?
Thank God I was on vacation in Minnesota when all of Hollywood was wiped out. Hey, Wipeout's on. I'm rebooting the Die Hard franchise next week.
Right when I'm done playing Lincoln.
Just Louis Anderson.
Steven Spielberg's Lincoln.
47 beers ago.
We got to get this amendment through.
Oh, man. I guess I have to be Ray Charles in this biopic. Georgia. Georgia. That's, I don't know the word. I'll practice.
And the Academy Award for Best Actor goes to Louis Anderson. For all of the movies he's ever done this year, as he's our only living actor, please welcome Louis Anderson to the stage. Louis, would you like to come on down, please? You're the only man in the audience.
I drink your milkshake. I drink all of them in the whole milkshake shop.
Louis Anderson remakes of Oscar-winning movies might be my new favorite thing of all time.
Oh, I need kids to work in my factory. They got the little arms. They get into the machines. Come on, you gotta give me the kids.
Oh, shit. I have to do G.I. Joe Retaliation next week, and I have to play all the characters. Let's go, Joes. Okay, Joe.
I'm gonna get you, Joe.
My favorite movie that I've done so far is Blue is the Warmest Color. It's me playing two lesbian teenagers.
Wait, who am I talking to? Oh, my God. Louis Anderson in Blue is the Warmest Color. I just threw up inside. So we're still waiting at this library, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Quaid's on his way, Andrew.
This is something we neglected to mention. A little detail, back when Emmy Rossum was saving those useless tourists, she cuts herself on the bumper of the cab.
Oh, yeah.
So now, flash forward to where we are in the film, she's got sepsis is kicking in. Good old-fashioned sepsis, which we diagnose
through
the librarian just reading symptoms from a book, which it's like, oh, aren't you glad we didn't burn all these books?
Knowledge is power. So then they get Jake. They're like, well, if we don't have any antibiotics, she's going to die. And Jake Gyllenhaal's like, well, there's a boat. Chances are on that boat, there's going to be exactly what we need.
Yeah, on this shitty Russian freighter.
Yeah, on an automated freighter, maybe.
That's frozen in Midtown Manhattan.
Just maybe there's a usable first aid kit on there that has penicillin and whatever the god else we need.
There probably won't be that, but there's definitely going to be some CGI wolves.
Woo! Yeah, somebody says in the audience who still woke up.
These wolves, man, are just trotting around this thing.
And it's Jake Gyllenhaal and his two friends, the hunk and his nerdy friend. They're like, okay, we're all going to go together because we're literally bored out of our skulls being in this library for 3 days. And I'd love to stretch my legs. And they run afoul of the wolves. And the hunky character, who is no longer a romantic rival, you know, he's a good guy. He gets bitten by a wolf, but doesn't die. Like, again, like, he needs to get fucking like raped by four wolves.
The whole
like the that's whole what I need to see.
The whole pack of them just eats this guy alive.
Yep, exactly.
He sacrifices himself so Jake Gyllenhaal and the nerd can get through the door.
Or at very least, he turns into a werewolf. Yes. Because, you know, why, it's like, oh, Dennis Quaid can be like, oh, this storm is changing the way the world works. Magic is coming back. It's sort of like Game of Thrones with the dragons, you know? Yeah. It's like, oh, now magic's back in the world.
Winter why is not? Coming.
See, yeah, boom.
Yep, you're right. With the coming winter comes, you know, the rise of magic.
Yeah.
Magics.
It would exactly. Like sort of like Mangus too.
So my favorite character on Game of Thrones to play was Khal Drogo.
I also had to play Khaleesi.
That was fun to shoot, if you know what I mean. Hey guys, you can't see it, but I'm winking.
They wrote her age. I can't even do this impression at all.
They wrote her aged up a little bit, but I still played her like she was in the books. It's a 13-year-old. It's how I envisioned what Khal Drogo was doing.
I need motivation for both of my characters. I won 41 Emmys last year. I also wrote Breaking Bad.
Hey, guys, in this post-apocalyptic society where I'm the only creative figure, I brought back all my favorite shows. Hey. Breaking Bad, Life with Louie. I got another job for your Uncle Jack.
Everybody's back from the dead. Welcome back, Tuco. I was also a big fan of Roseanne. Now I'm playing Roseanne. Dan!
This fall on NBC, Louis Anderson does whatever he wants. From 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And then the local news. Like the chair spins and you think it's somebody else. And it's Louis Anderson again.
That's all the news for tonight. Stay tuned for The Tonight Show starring me. Give me a few minutes to get over to the other studio and get everything set up.
The suicide rate would be through the roof. Like, honestly, skyrocket. It wouldn't be the lack of food. It'd be the lack of entertainment sustenance.
Welcome to Late Night with Louis Anderson. And now, Last Call with Louis Anderson.
He would still have to stay up for Last Call.
Oh, that show's never getting canceled.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about the magic bullet. You can make all kinds of smoothies. It's 4 a.m.
Oh, no. Here ends our broadcast day. But I'm not going to sleep. Beep.
I would kill myself within the first week.
The Today Show at 4:30 in the morning or whatever.
Oh, man. And then he keeps losing all this weight, right? Because he's working so much. Right. And he loses all of his charm.
And wow. And you're right. And that's when he loses America. That's when people tune out. They're like, hey, he's not fat anymore. Turn it off. He's worked himself down to being horrendously, dangerously skinny.
I don't know. So the kid doesn't die via wolf. Who cares?
No, doesn't even have the courtesy to turn into a goddamn werewolf. Just gets back inside safely.
Everyone gets back inside safely. We don't even see Emmy Rossum take the medicine or get better.
No. You're totally insane. Right. She just like gets up towards the end of the movie when Dennis Quaid comes to pick everybody up in the minivan.
Also, when they're running away from the wolves to get back into the library, they're also running away from the personification of cold.
Oh, my God. They outrun cold in this movie.
It's like Sam Raimi's Evil Dead. You know, like that. It's like the cold is chasing them. We see the Empire State Building get even colder. It just cracks up a little bit. It's like, oh, my God, it's even colder out there.
They run into, like, they all go into, like, one room in the library where there's this huge
this huge medieval fireplace that I'm sure is in the New York Public Library. And they're all hiding in this room. They're throwing whatever books at this point because the cold's coming. It's the cold snap. And you see the door freeze and the cold, like, comes through the cracks like, here I come.
It's so stupid. And they're like, right, they're like, oh, you have to keep the fire on. Like, if it's, if the cold is that intense that it's like actually chasing you, you're all dead.
You're so,
I don't care
dead.
What fire you have, what James Joyce volume you're burning, you're all moitered.
There's a hilarious thing where you learn about this cold snap that's, you know, going to hit our characters eventually. It's like kind of around the time it's hitting Ian Holm, which also, you don't see those fuckers die.
No.
They toast and that's the last time you see them, but there's a couple of helicopters that run into this cold snap and the choppers freeze midair and crash. And this guy gets out like, now what's going on around here? And you see this human being like instantly freeze. And I was like, can that start happening for like the whole movie?
Yeah.
Is this going to happen to more people? Oh, what's that? It's just that one guy. Oh, great.
But also, I don't know if we mentioned it, but there was a group of dissenters in the New York Public Library that's like, hey, no, we're going to go outside. We're going to We're going to walk with everyone else for safety.
Oh, man, I think Nunzio's is open. Let's go get a slice. And everyone puts their coats on and leaves.
Jake Gyllenhaal has to give this big speech about like, now, if you go out there, my dad says you're going to die.
My dad's coming, and he says you're all going to die if you leave.
And they're like, yeah, who the fuck is this kid? And he's like, my dad created this, kind of.
Get out of you, snot-nosed 28-year-old, and they shove him. And they go and die almost instantly.
Well, yeah. We get a nice shot of the cop that was in the party frozen to death. So that's good.
But you don't see it transform, though. That's I like the transformation of the instant freeze.
I would like, some Transformers for sure. Definitely.
I would like, you know that movie The Last Winter when it's a horror? It's like an ecological horror movie. It's not
with Ron Perlman?
Yeah, it's not better than this one, but it is. No, it is better than this movie by a lot. But there's dinosaur ghosts that come.
Wait,
shut up.
I'm serious. I mean, like, they don't. It's not as cheesy as it sounds, unfortunately. They kind of take the high road, which is kind of a problem for me.
Damn it.
Hold on a second. There's a blizzard.
There's a blizzard.
The earth freezes.
Yeah.
And then the ghosts of dinosaurs arise from the crypt.
Dinosaurs, mastodons, like...
Are they coming out of the fucking gas tanks?
Well, no, it's they're in Antarctica, and they're like, oh, my God, the planet is revolting against us. It hates us for what we've done to it.
Right.
And I think there's primal things happening. Dinosaur ghost.
Sounds like I need to watch this with an ice cold glass of water.
Is this a fucking Scientology movie?
I feel like if there's one person who's not putting up with Scientology, it's Ron Perlman.
He fucking punches Scientology in its face.
So whatever. Dennis Quaid makes it to the library.
He does.
with no incident. After J.O. Sanders commits suicide for no reason... Everything's gravy. He pitches a tent with that other guy.
Him and Dash Mihawk, like, they're like, the snap happens, and he's like, you know, Mihawk's like, you know, we've got to wait this out for a couple of days. And then Dennis Quaid's like, well, I don't think he has a couple of days. And, like, Mihawk is just like, should just be like, I don't give a fuck. We may be the last two people alive on Earth.
Yeah, you know what? I'm pitching this tent, and I'm going to have a good night's sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Eat shit, you and your dumb genius child.
I know it's my fault for even agreeing to come on this bullshit trip,
but
we are taking one for Mihawk today.
Guess what? Keep walking.
Yeah, exactly.
The tent's in my bag.
Mm-hmm.
Keep walking.
So, by the way, it's now subarctic. It's like negative 98 degrees.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's
but
bad.
But don't worry. We've got a thin, like, vinyl sheets protecting us from the elements. We're fine. Oh, and by the way, I also lugged my giant goddamn phone that I can talk to the astronauts in outer space with.
He makes a phone call to astronauts?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does, right?
Yeah, he's got like a weird GPS thing.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, hey, astronauts, how's it going up there? And they're like, fine, man. We got fucking 100 years worth of Tang.
Yeah, man. Like, when do those guys go mad, do you think? Like,
oh, that's madness the movie. Is a very real thing, man.
That's what I want to see. Like, that's like, you keep checking back up with these Who cares, astronauts? That somebody's just holding somebody else's eyeballs?
Oh, yeah. See? Fucking Event Horizon comes to fruition. Like, fucking hell in space is happening. Like, they've lost their minds to such a degree. It's just blood and guts everywhere and chains for some reason.
I feel... You just remind me of something funny. Because I recently finished watching the entire Hellraiser filmography, which, if you want to talk about wastes of time... Put that up there.
There's like, what, 1.4 usable hours in that entire thing?
Oh, we
that.
Should do a fan master cut.
But you just reminded me of the idea that in a lot of these sequels, they're just shitty scripts for like horror thrillers that yeah. they were like, yeah, we could stick Cenobites in this. And they just make them Hellraiser movies, right? I was thinking, do you think if Event Horizon didn't find enough funding... They would have just made it a Hellraiser movie. Like, because you yeah. put Pinhead in that movie.
Oh, it makes
man.
Perfect sense. It's a Hellraiser skip one movie.
I mean, easy fix.
Sam Neill kind of turns into Pinhead at the end of that movie.
Yeah. Doesn't he, like, have his skins all ripped off
yeah,
or something?
Yeah.
That's Paul W.S. Anderson, right?
It is. That's his best movie,
yeah,
period.
I actually kind of enjoyed it.
I don't know if I like that or Mortal Kombat better.
That's a good question.
Shit, that's fucking Sophie's Choice. Starring me, Louis Anderson.
I'm remaking the old ones because all the film canisters froze. I gotta go back and do everything now. Oh, no. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And by my dear, I mean my cat. That's the only co-stars he would ever have would be cats. And here's my cast of characters, cats and dogs. The creepiest line in this movie is uttered when Dennis Quaid gets to this library. Mm-hmm. So, like, he gets there, and they're all sleeping, like, all the survivors. So, like, Nerdlinger's with, like, that young lady, and they're, like, keeping each other warm, you know, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, and yeah, Russell,
we don't even see that shit happen, by the way.
Wait, no, why
what
not?
Are you,
just show,
what are you saying?
I was saying they were getting down to some fucking in the library.
Oh,
what I was
yeah,
saying.
Dude. You got a body heat, number one.
Exactly. You got to stay
warm. There is a good
warm.
Body heat scene, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Oh, that's right, where she's like, I'm going to press up against you, and we're going to hug, and he's definitely got a Jake Gyllenhaal nerd boner.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, yeah, this
gross.
Way... Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's small. You're a nerd, right? That's what would happen.
This is her saying that to him?
Yeah, and then he'd oh, yeah. be like, it's cold.
But so, like, Dennis Quaid's looking around. He's like, God, I sure hope my son isn't dead. And he's got this flashlight, and it like the flashlight comes on Jake Gyllenhaal. And like
it
he
comes on Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes. It comes upon Jake Gyllenhaal. That didn't really make it better.
No, I was going to say.
And so he wakes up, and Jake Gyllenhaal just goes, like, he sees that it's Dennis Quaid, and he goes, hi, father. I'm like, wait, did you get turned into a pod person?
I'm a man now. I have had intercourse.
I had sex with this girl who has blood poisoning.
Now I have dick poisoning.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like,
I don't think you can contract sepsis sexually.
For whatever reason, no one grows beards in this movie, like, especially Jake Gyllenhaal, because they want to make him look like a 17-year-old kid. But, like,
how many just, days are passing, though?
The day after tomorrow. No,
so
I mean, it's at least.
Maybe
I think
a day
you say
and a half.
7 to 10 days because they said the storm is going to last 7 to 10 days.
Oh.
Oh, you're
God
right,
damn it.
Right.
There
right.
definitely would be rampant cannibalism there.
Absolutely.
Rats. What a missed yeah. opportunity all around.
They would have eaten those first.
Yeah, you start eating those Subway rats. That's good eating.
Mm-hmm. Like in Demolition Man.
So, you know, at this point, we're all in Mexico. Not everybody, just the oh, by the way, one of the things happens off screen is the president dies.
The president's like trying to wait out the storm, and then it's like, Mr. President, we really have to shag some ass here.
Mr. Yeah. President, you're dead.
You're dead,
so
Willie.
You see him like getting a helicopter, and then the lady who's like the Secretary of Defense walks in. Dick Cheney, of course, is already in Mexico.
Oh, first one there.
So we just own Mexico now?
Oh, yeah. Dude, you just
we
plant that
it.
Flag. That's
yeah.
all you have to do. And she's like, sir, so you're the president now. He's like, no, what's that? It's like, oh, well, the president didn't get out in time and his caravan's frozen instantly. So you're the president now, is what I'm saying. It's like, well, gosh golly, that's great news.
So so now it's under NAFTA and we have the Amero, I'm imagining. That's the currency once we combine the United States, Mexico, and Canada.
Well, Canada's got to be done for, yeah.
And you know what? Shitty-ass Hollywood movie. Not one mention of our friends to the north.
No.
And what their situation is. There might as well not even be a country there. They're like, oh, America's going to get slobbered.
Slobbered.
They're going to get slobbered by this storm. I think I meant to say clobbered, but it
was. I like slobbered. It's like a... It's like the dog of winter comes, you know, man? Like
it's this big wintry
storm comes and slobbers you up.
But Dick Cheney learns a little lesson from this whole thing, you know? And, like, he gives this big speech. Is like, you know, we all learned a little lesson in humility. And by that, I mean two-thirds of the country is dead.
It's mostly because years ago I didn't listen to this scientist who turned out to be... 100% right on everything he told me.
Well, and for some reason, the American Halliburton made bank, so whatever.
For some reason, the American system of government still exists, even though he's doing it from a Mexican embassy. It's it's anarchy. It's the purge anarchy out there, okay? Best case scenario.
It's all happening.
Yeah, and so he gives a speech, and then, like, the Dennis Quaid's boss is like, oh my God, Dennis Quaid is stuck in New York. And Dick Cheney's like, well, I better fucking dispatch 9 helicopters to get 6 people, which these helicopters must have, what, 1/10 of the world's energy supply at this point? Like, there's nothing left. Like, I'm sorry that New York is closed for business.
Yeah, we're closed. You know what? It's the city that never sleeps until the Ice Age comes. Then we're closed for a couple of days.
And he gives this speech, and he's giving this speech. He's like, and I even dispatched some helicopters because some really nice guy stuck in New York. If I was watching this somehow, you know, eating my father, I'd be like, what the fuck? We're sending helicopters for white people? You know, like, I'd be so mad.
What I love, too, is so they pick up Jake Gyllenhaal and company, and, you know, they're helicopters. So you're fitting, like, 5 people in there.
Yeah.
And they're flying by Manhattan. He's getting, like, one last look, and there's all these people on rooftops. And, like, sometimes helicopters are coming down for them.
Yeah, not all
the time. Most of the time, you're just kind of up there for no reason like a jerk.
And we did not bring enough fuel for 2 trips, I'll tell you that much.
Yep, so I hope you liked looking at this helicopter.
Oh, Marone, Vinny, I'm the mayor now, I guess.
Bro, that's fucked up. I would have voted for you anyway, though.
All those fucking waspy scientists get the first helicopter. It's fucked up, bro. Us natives got to stay here.
We're going to be eating the garbage of the old world.
And not shockingly, those astronauts are in space forever.
Oh, yeah.
They're the last characters we see in the movie.
And they're kind of our chorus, everybody.
Yeah. And they tell everyone, like, oh, my God, the storm is gone forever. Have you ever seen the Earth so blue?
Oh, yeah.
So
and then
beautiful.
It's the computer image from the Earth that Apple uses with iPhones.
What?
Like when you initially get an iPhone and it was like the picture
of
the globe.
Yeah.
It's that exact picture.
Wow.
How did that work? Did Apple get it from the day after tomorrow or vice versa?
I think it's like someone made it and it just gets licensed.
I think Roland Emmerich just held up his phone. Oh, wait, this was 2004. So, wait, did it exist? I don't know. That's up to you, listener. I can't help.
Is this, I mean, because that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, okay.
It's terrible and dull. Is this Roland Emmerich's dullest movie? I didn't see that 10,000 BC.
Oh, I didn't see that
That's
either.
Him.
At least there's, like, I don't know, saber-toothed tigers doing shit in there.
It's got to be more exciting than this. This was a total snooze fest.
It's a total snooze fest. And, like, I'm sorry. Keep your beating me over the face messages out of my dumb summer blockbusters.
Yeah, I agree. Even if we personally think, hey, you know, maybe we should give a shit about the environment. Don't fucking shove it down my throat when I'm shoving popcorn down there already.
Just, there's not room for both, and I'm going to keep eating this popcorn.
Especially when you make a bad movie. It just actually weakens everyone's position.
Yes, that's exactly like, right.
Oh, what's this pamphlet about global warming? No, that's like, isn't that bad movie? Fuck that.
Garbage. It's like getting a pamphlet, you know, in the rare case that someone actually takes a pamphlet from someone else, which is never. But if it were to happen, and the first thing you notice on the pamphlet is that there's like a gigantic spelling error. And you're just like, well, this is a fucking waste of time because the people who made it are idiots. And that's just what this is. And then you're making it again with 2012, but that's like more the Mayan prophecy than anything else. That movie's a real stink fest too. But in that movie, they have the audacity to be like, well, we've been planning for this for a long time because the Mayans told us. So we've built all of these super ships that people are going to live on.
At least that's something. You know, there's some sci-fi element to it. This is like grounded in boring bullshit. Well, it's not even reality. It's grounded in like boring fantasy. You know what I mean? It's like, what if we had to walk across America to a library?
And it was really cold out that day.
Walk across America? No!
That's him in Forrest Gump, right?
I gotta do... Maybe I'll just cut that part from the story.
What's this about a box of chocolates? More about that.
The whole movie's about the chocolates now. Forget the Vietnam War. I'm just eating more chocolates.
And then I play the Elvis cameo. Remember, Elvis is in Forrest Gump.
Yes, sir.
I think he said he has to go pee.
And now I'm Kennedy. Get it?
Oh, my God. Louis Anderson and JFK.
Back and to the left. Guys, come on. It's back and to the left. How can you not see this? It's not a conspiracy. It's real. It's physics.
I like playing the Wayne Knight part because the pants fit the best.
I love the idea that he's just using all of the same costume.
He would have to, right?
Oh, he's I gotta wiggle
into Kevin Costner's suit. Now that's a conspiracy theory.
What?
I don't know. Oh man, that's the Day After Tomorrow from Roland Emmerich. 2004. What a disaster movie, and not in the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
If you want to get a hold of us, check out our...
No recommends, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just so
done
just
with
so
it.
Done with this movie. No, I'm sorry, but no one is recommending.
No.
If you want to watch a Roland Emmerich movie, watch Independence Day.
I would say Volcano's a much better, more watchable.
If you want to see L.A. get lit up.
Yeah, it's going to get lit up good. I mean, there's a ton of good. I like a good disaster movie. I like shit falling into each other and smashing and crashing.
Absolutely.
It just none of that happens, or it happens and then we go to a library.
The last place I want to be when I'm at the movies is at the library.
We could talk about books and the merits of one book over another and which one should be burned.
Well, that's a debate for a Twilight Zone episode, I feel. That's not here.
No.
No, that's not. Keep that out of the picture house.
If you want to get a hold of us and find out more information about the show, check out whmpodcast.com. Join the conversation online. We're talking to you on Twitter at @WHMPodcast and on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WeHateMovies. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. We have July's mailbag episode right around the corner, so stay tuned for that as well. Rate and review the show in iTunes or wherever you get it, wherever you subscribe and download. We would greatly appreciate it. Blame It on Outer Space, Eric's Conspiracy Theory Takedown show, is going strong bi-weekly. What's coming out on Blame It on Outer Space?
Well, we got a really exciting episode on their little program coming out. The topic is crop circles.
Oh, shit.
Very, very popular topic. And we actually have, I'm really stoked for this, a celebrity guest.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know if we should say who or not, but it's really exciting.
I think you should keep people in suspense.
Yeah, It's this is one not to miss, folks.
There you go.
So it's not Louis Anderson. I'm busy. I've got so many movies to make, you guys.
I'm wrapped up in production on my new Casablanca. He's looking at you, Skid. Oh, cut.
And that's just in the movie.
Well, I got so much to do. I only got one take.
He's also the editor.
I don't have time.
Find out who the big celebrity guest is. Blame it on outerspace.com, at BlameSpacePod on Twitter, and join their Facebook Manson family. Facebook.com/BlameItOnOuterSpace. Clue for next week's episode.
I will say it's a sequel to an action movie.
Ooh, good call. Sequel to an action movie. So until next week when we crack that code, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.